Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Roundtable. I am here with Richie from Rivals, who covers Rutgers football. Richie, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for this Yankee game a little bit later, but we got to talk some Rutgers football.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit of Rutgers football. They started the season hot at 3-0, and then have lost the last three Big Ten games: Iowa at home 27-10, at Ohio State 49-10, and Nebraska a couple weeks ago 14-13 at home. Just take us through the start of the season. A nice win up at come from behind win up at Boston College, a close win over Temple on the road as well. Just what are Rutgers fans and Rutgers football followers feeling these days?
Yeah, so I guess we'll start from the beginning of the season. As you mentioned, that big comeback win, 95-yard, 9-play drive, or maybe I think it was 11-play drive, actually, to come back and beat Boston College in the season opener. I actually pegged that game as a loss going into the year. Rutgers was projected at 3.5 wins on the entire season. They're very close to surpassing that mark, obviously, with 3 already. But, I mean, that was a huge win. And I honestly started thinking, like, all right, maybe this team could get a bowl game again. Like, this, maybe they could pull this off. But as we know now, Boston College is not that good whatsoever this year. Wagner, obviously, hasn't won a game since 2019. So I just consider that one kind of a wash. And then the Temple game was very questionable. It was very close, and it shouldn't have been as close as it was. And I think the moral of the story with this team, if you look at it, they're averaging 1.2 offensive touchdowns per game. You're not going to win games like that. It's been a struggle on offense, and that's why Rutgers has a new offensive coordinator going into this week.
Gleason was a very sought-after offensive coordinator. I know when IU was looking to replace an offensive coordinator, I think either Nick Sheridan or Kalen DeBoer, Gleason's name came up a lot. He interviewed for the position. What went wrong there? Because he's a New Jersey guy who's from Princeton, was at Oklahoma State. Just what went wrong with his offense?
So I guess for starters, like you mentioned, he's a Jersey guy through and through, and that was kind of the whole pitch to him. And it sounds like his wife wanted to go back home to Jersey. Obviously, Oklahoma is not New Jersey. It's two totally different cultures completely. But, so he actually has been sought after pretty hardly, even when he's at Rutgers. Like, Georgia Tech reached out to him when he was at Rutgers. It seems like year one, everything was clicking, everything was going. Maybe that was a case of just people not really knowing what he could bring to the table in terms of offensive schemes and stuff like that. But, this Rutgers team hasn't had a good offensive line since I don't even know how long it's been. It's been quite some time, probably Shiano 1.0, as we like to call it, his first tenure here at Rutgers. But I think it starts up front. And when you don't get blocking up front, you can't really move the ball. And then on top of it, he hasn't really developed a quarterback. They brought in Noah Vedral from Nebraska, who's been at best. And after him, I mean, Art Sikowski was here for a little bit. Now he's at Illinois backup. They just haven't really been able to develop a guy or find a guy. Now, that being said, they did bring in a 4-star last year in Gavin Wimsatt, who pulled the Quinn Ewers situation and actually left high school his senior year and enrolled early. But he still hasn't lived up to that 4-star ranking yet. And That's probably the biggest issue, is that it's quarterback at the end of the day. And it seems like Rutgers' struggles are still there, as they're doing a quarterback roulette type thing this year with three different guys.
With, I believe your tight end coach is taking over play calling duties on offense. Do you expect a big change in offensive philosophy, or just some tweaks that, you know, teams make during that bye week?
That's a tough one. I wouldn't say a huge change, because at the end of the day, you're already in the middle of the season. And I think this move is kind of to try to salvage the season. So Shiano's never fired a coach in the middle of the year. He's always let these guys at least play out the year, or at least coach out the year, as you want to call it. So I don't think there's going to be significant changes. Now, that being said, maybe a couple schemes, maybe a couple calls and stuff like that here and there. But Nunzio Campanelli, as the tight ends coach, he's done the job before, technically. So when Chris Ash was fired, he took over as interim OC and interim quarterbacks coach and interim head coach. So he has done the job before. He kind of knows what he's working with. And ironically, his quarterback in high school when he was at Bergen Catholic, which is like one of the powerhouse programs over here in New Jersey, I guess actually the nation, his quarterback was Johnny Langdon, who is the current starting tight end. So I guess tight end slash quarterback slash running back. He kind of does it all for Rutgers at the moment.
He does do it all. We saw him last year line up a tight end, line up a quarterback, wide receiver, running back.
Yeah.
He's almost the Taysom Hill of Rutgers.
Exactly.
Football. Going into that quarterback situation, had some injuries there. It seems like it's rotating. Federal was hurt during at the beginning of the year. What's the situation there?
So Vedrill got hurt in training camp and didn't come back until the Ohio State game, where he only had like four snaps, but then he started the Nebraska game 2 weeks ago. So now he's fully healthy now, it sounds like. Obviously, fully healthy is a loosely used term. He did hurt his hand. Shiano confirmed that the other day. But he's good to go. Gavin Wimsatt missed the past two games with a lower body injury because, you know, coaches nowadays don't like saying any type of injury whatsoever. But, so he's back as well. He practiced during bye week. And Evan Simon, the guy who started most of these games and led the team in passing for the first five or six games or whatever it is now, he's perfectly healthy. So now it's kind of going to be interesting what you do here. If you're Rutgers, throughout the first six games, they've rotated guys in and out. I know against Boston College, they rotated Langan, Simon, and Wimsatt all in one series at one point. It's a very bizarre. Now, Gleason's not here anymore. Ideally, I think the best case scenario for Rutgers is you pick a quarterback and stick with him and let him get a little bit of confidence and a little rhythm going. But I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. It's a tough call right now. If I was a betting man, I'd probably say Noah Vedrill, the six-year senior, would get the nod. And then you kind of go from there, but it's kind of a wait and see process at the moment too.
Yeah. Sticking with the offense, Aaron Cruikshank, it seems like he's been there forever. Transfer from Wisconsin, explosive kick returner, punt returner, can make some plays in the passing game. He's Rutgers' leading receiver. And then Samuel Brown is the leading rusher. He's a freshman as well, or not as well, but he's a freshman. What other offensive playmakers, if you're Indiana, do you have to key on against Rutgers on Saturday?
So that's the tough part. As I mentioned before, this offense has been extremely stagnant. We're not really sure what to expect under a new OC. Practice was closed last week during the bye week, so they're not letting anyone see whatsoever what's going to happen. It's more of a secretive thing, which I kind of understand. It's all strategic advantage at this point. I do think you'll see a lot of Sam Brown, like you mentioned. He is the leading rusher. He's a four-star freshman out of Pennsylvania, out of Philly. He's been phenomenal. He's very patient. He's not going to break you down with his speed or anything like that, like most tailbacks do. He's kind of that big bully, old-school type rusher. He's a little on the smaller side, I guess, in terms of height, but in terms of body, he's a big, big body, like big old-school power back type. He uses a stiff arm a lot. He's using it really well. He put up some significant yards against a very good Ohio State team and a pretty good Iowa team on defense as well. And then, like you mentioned, Aaron Cruikshank has been a weapon. There's so many ways to use him. Now, this season, he's been a little bit different. He does have five or six total kick/punt returns for touchdowns in his career. So it's always something to watch. But he did tear his ACL last year. So it's kind of hard to see how much he's fully recovered. I think he's a little skittish at times in terms of taking the ball out as a return man, which is always dangerous. But I think the one guy I'd probably keep a close eye on would probably be Sean Ryan. He ran a really nice route against Ohio State team, and it was for a touchdown, a 22-yard touchdown, I think it was, to start the game against Ohio State, and it was Rutgers' first ever lead against the Buckeyes ever. So. He could be a weapon at times. He's tall. He's got really good hands. I'd probably keep a close eye on him if they're not going to use Cruikshank as much. But other than that, like I said, this is a run-heavy team. I'd probably watch the running back room in general.
Awesome. And then switching to the defensive side of the ball, you guys are giving up 22 points a game. 49 of them came against Ohio State. But who are some of the playmakers on defense that you would have circled on your board if you're an opposing offense?
I think it starts with the D-line. Aaron Lewis has been one of the better defensive linemen in the Big Ten overall. I know he's not putting up crazy sack numbers or anything like that, but he's getting a ton of quarterback pressures off the edge. He's doing really well. I know PFF just ranked him as one of the top, I think the number two defensive end in the Big Ten this year. Now, mind you, Rutgers has played a couple crappy teams in terms of offenses between Temple, Wagner, Boston College. Iowa's offense is awful too. So, I mean, it's not great, but he has been doing really well. So I keep an eye on him. Other than him, Max Melton has kind of picked it up as of late. He's one of the better DBs in the Big Ten. I think he was all Big Ten third team this year, preseason. He's the brother of Bo Melton, who a lot of Big Ten fans know, as Bo Melton was the leading receiver for Rutgers for past three, four years or something like that. But he has a couple picks on the year. He's been looking a little bit better each and every week. That's probably the two I would keep the closest eye on. Christian Izian's a little bit of a smaller safety. So now Rutgers has like a linebacker problem at the moment. They don't have many healthy linebackers. So Christian Izian's kind of playing. It's weird. He's like 5'8", but he's playing like a little bit closer to the line as that linebacker type hybrid guy. He's a great tackler, very good form tackle. He'll very good run stopper as well. So he's another one I probably keep a close eye on. I think he had one game this year where he had like 16 tackles. So he's not afraid to hit people.
Yeah, one of the staples of Greg Schiano's Rutgers teams were blocked kicks. The special teams unit, is that still a staple of Greg Schiano's teams? Are blocking field goals, extra points, punts, and all those things?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think they have two blocked punts on the year, so it's not as much as he used to do it because you do have a really good return man, like we mentioned before, in Cruikshank. So you kind of want to send a couple guys back now to get, like, those blocks here and there. But for the most part, yeah, they still send the house quite a bit. Like I mentioned, they had, I think one last week against Nebraska or two in the last week against, or 2 weeks ago against Nebraska. Yeah, but it's still pretty much a staple, and, they're very close to being really good on special teams. It's just, there's a lot of penalties and a lot of youth on this team. So that's, I think, where the penalties are coming from. And that's, I think they're the most penalized team on special teams. So that could be a way where Indiana could kind of make a little advantage here and there.
Looking at matchups in this game, if you're a casual fan tuning into Big Ten Network at noon for this game, what's one matchup that you're circling to watch?
I'd probably say Big Ten fans don't get a lot of offense, but I'd watch Sam Brown versus defense. I think it's a matter of time before he's the official starter for Rutgers. I'm a little shocked he hasn't gotten a nod already. As he led the team in rushing for the past 3 weeks, he leads the team in rushing on the season. I think he has 100 more yards than the second guy, and Kyle Monongai, who is the starter. And I think only like the difference in carries is like six or seven. So he's one I would keep a really close eye on against this Indiana defense. I noticed their defense lets up quite a bit of yards overall this season, the Hoosiers. So I would probably watch for Sam Brown to try to break a couple ones and just try to get the run game going, establish that. Then maybe you can get the passing game going and then go from there. But like I said, new offensive coordinator, so no one really knows what to expect out of this offense. I do think this Rutgers defense in general is going to hold Indiana to probably under 24 points. That being said, it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, Indiana's defense has been susceptible to the long pass. We saw it against Cincinnati, against Nebraska a couple weeks ago, and last week against Maryland. Even though Talia got his yards, it really was the run defense late in the game against the backup in Billy Edwards Jr. that didn't do the job. So IU has not put together a four-quarter game yet. And somehow they're Illinois' only loss, and Illinois is rocking and rolling right now over in the Big Ten West, which we know I would think that both fan bases are like, we got to get rid of divisions by now because this is getting to be hot garbage.
Yeah, 100%.
But let's go to predictions. You predict a low scoring game. What's your official prediction for Saturday?
Right now, I think the over under is interesting. It's 45. It's going to be close. I think it's going to be really close to that. I think like a 20-17 game probably. I think Rutgers is going to, Connor Bazelak's going to give Rutgers fits on defense. I know their secondary is supposed to be their strong suit, but it's seen some serious struggles this year. Shivers looks like a pretty decent running back as well. And it's not just him. I think you guys have another running back, whoever the backup was. I think he ran for like 300 yards this year or something like that.
Josh Henderson. He's actually from Hun School out in
Princeton. Oh, that is that. I was going to ask if that was the same Josh Henderson. Yep. So, I mean, I think Indiana pulls this one out. I think the Rutgers sold out the past two games at home. I think this one's going to be a lot less than that. I think fans are getting a little upset, getting pissed off and here and there. I mean, new offensive coordinator. Maybe there's a little juice on offense, but at the same time, still the same players. It's probably, for the most part, still the same plays and play calling and schemes and all that, but it's going to be tough. I'd probably say 2017 Indiana, but I think you could easily flip that and still say 2017 Rutgers. But as of right now, I think Indiana pulls this one out by like a field goal or something like that.
Yeah, the last couple games, trips to Rutgers, Indiana, it's been interesting. IU fans will know the Cameo Patrick game, which he was supposed to be this legend running over people. He played in like four games and got hurt. But that was one of the games with Divine Redding and things like that. But it's a very funky game. You know, the 2014 game where Tevin Coleman runs for 307 yards and IU still loses by 20 points and things like that. And then I think it was 2018 where it's 24-17 and just like the offense shut off in the second half and things like that. It's a tricky trip out to Rutgers. I always love it. I am from the New York area, so it's a chance to go home. But I had never really been to a Rutgers football game before covering IU, and that fan base is really actually passionate and things like that. They're out there tailgating. They're loud when things are going well and things like that. I think if Indiana's going to get another one, it's got to be this one. Otherwise, they're going to start that late season slide. You got a bye week after this, you know, before heading, getting Penn State at home, heading to Ohio State and Michigan State and Purdue at home. So life in the Big Ten East is not easy, as Rutgers fans and IU fans well know. I'm going to go with you. I think IU by field goal, but I'm going to go 24-21 and push on that over under. You know, and maybe that 5 o'clock Yankees, hopefully Yankees in the ALCS on Saturday. Maybe that affects the crowd as well, if they have to choose which one to go to. But Richie, tell our fans where they can read your stuff, where they can find you online.
Yeah. So obviously this is recorded on video, right?
Yes.
Or is it just okay. So you see, obviously it says Rivals Richie. You can find me on Twitter right there at Rutgers Rivals on Twitter, on every social media platform. Rutgers.rivals.com. We cover basically everything Rutgers athletics, not just football, basketball, wrestling, baseball. We try to do it a little bit of everything. I like to think we're the premier Rutgers site on the web, if people still say on the web, but yeah, no, I've been doing it for quite some time. So if you guys have any questions, and if you're coming out to New Jersey and you want food recommendations, we got all that stuff on the boards. Reach out to me on Twitter. I'll throw you a bunch of good food spots. If you like Italian food, this is the trip to make.
Yeah, it's Italian food, New York, New Jersey gets none better than actually going over to Italy and things like that. But thank you, Richie. Awesome talking to you. Hopefully we'll see you on Saturday at SHI Stadium and things like that. And if your fans have any questions about IU, feel free to hit us up on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle as well. We give scouting reports, and if you need anything from us, feel free to reach out as well. So that does it for our roundtable. Thank you to Rivals Richie for coming on. You can check him out at the Rutgers Rivals site as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Have all the lead up to the game at HoosierHuddle.com as well. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to wherever you listen to your podcast as well. You know, what do the kids say now? Like, rate, subscribe. comment, like, rate, subscribe, all that stuff. So we appreciate it. And Indiana kicks off at Rutgers at SHI Stadium at noon on Saturday on Big Ten Network.